It's great to have our guest, Justin Baldoni, actor, director, producer, and now author, because his new book is called Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. And Justin has done TED Talks about this type of thing, too. Justin, welcome to the show. When did you get to the point where you're like, you know what, I have figured a couple things out here, and I want to share what I know about what we think of masculinity? When did you kind of think, I need to tell other people about what I have figured out?
That's a great question. It wasn't that I figured some things out. In fact, it was my lack of figuring things out, which is what kind of propelled me to go on this journey. And even the book itself is written from a place, not as an expert, not as like a sociology, gender studies major professor, but as just a guy. I'm just a dude trying to figure this out and figure out why my socialization and our culture has taught me that I need to be X enough to be a man. So I think it was a combination of a lot of things. Being married was a huge part of that, and having that mirror kind of reflected onto me, becoming a father, was a big part of that. And, you know, I'm 37 now, and I wrote this book because I honestly needed this book. I wish I could have had a book like this growing up.
Well, I saw some of your TED Talk, and one of the more poignant things is that you were being, I don't know if the word toxic, but just domineering, even with your own wife when it came to conversations. And then you realize that, as you said, you had to shut up and listen. And I kind of get it. You know, I'm 6'2", and I was a football player. And sometimes just me imposing my word on somebody, sometimes people around me would be quiet. And I didn't know if I was being a horse's ass or whatever. But I mean, I kind of knew where you were coming from with that.
Yeah, I'm happy you didn't say toxic, because I don't say toxic masculinity. I don't believe in that phrase. I think that phrase is destructive. I think that it makes men feel like they're under attack, and it's been weaponized and politicized. And I'm more interested in inviting men into conversation, because what we got to realize is, as dudes, we all struggle with this stuff, yet we don't even realize we're struggling with it. And, you know, yeah, I'm happy that you brought up, you know, I'm just about 6'2", you know, depending on who I'm talking to. Some men say that I'm 6'2 or 6'3 based on how tall they are, but I think I'm 6'1. But that's a whole nother conversation. I'm bigger or taller depending on the ego of the man I'm standing in front of. But same thing, man. And but the thing is that, you know, as men, this world is really set up in a way that encourages our dominance and our power. And we never have to ask the question if we're domineering or being or taking advantage of that power. We never have to ask the question if we're creating space for other people. And that's because we live in a patriarchal society. I mean, if we were women, we would be seeing every single day men taking up space and not leaving space for them. And when you talk to women about it, when you actually interview and you hear from women, you see that this is a very normal thing. I mean, even in New York, there was a journalist who decided to not move out of the way when she walked down the street just for a day. And what she found was that she was body checked hundreds of times. Wow. Men would just not move out of the way. Why? Because we're just from the time we're born, we're taught that this world is for ours for the taking. You move out of the way. I'm not going to move out of the way. And we don't even realize our behavior. So thank God, you know, for those of us that are lucky enough to fall into relationships or have dear friends of ours who are women, who can point these things out to us. And if we are masculine enough, if you man enough, if you will, to take that feedback, we can learn and we can grow.
You know, a couple of years ago, I was doing the Oakland Raiders pre and post game show on their flagship, and there was a game where the Raiders wide receiver Michael Crabtree had a vendetta against the Broncos DB Aqib Talib. They had gotten into a fight, and so basically, when the game began, they sort of had these like windmill missing haymakers trying to have their own fight, and Crabtree started this fight. He got thrown out of the game, so now the Raiders missed out on their best receiver. And on the post-game show on the network, I said the Raiders should suspend Crabtree themselves. They shouldn't wait for the NFL. And I got so many calls from guys saying, nah, he had to be a man. He had to be a man. And I'm like, is that your idea of a man? That's a coward's way out. It's just funny that people thought, nope, he's got to be a – that was their idea of being a man, putting yourself ahead of the team.
Yeah, again, I mean, who decides these things, right? This is culture, right? It's not nature versus nurture. This is learned behavior, and it's really important. It's important that you said that. I mean, we have to have discipline ourselves, and discipline our own organizations when we do those types of things. It's not like what are we teaching our boys? You want your boy to grow up thinking that that's what it takes to be a man? But we got to realize that that's what we're doing, and that's what we've been doing. That's what our fathers and their fathers have taught us. And at some point, we got to question whether or not this behavior serves us as men, or if it hurts us. It doesn't just hurt women and queer folks and gender nonconforming folks. It hurts us men.
You know, it's funny. The last question for you. I don't know if it's even a question, but I grew up, I'm 55, and in the 70s when I was growing up, it was a super macho, super fly kind of time. And the other day, I realized that I've never worn flip-flops in my life, because as a kid, anybody who wore flip-flops was a sissy and got beat up. And I thought, you know, I'm a grown-up. I can do whatever I want. But that type of stuff is so it's ingrained into my head. I can't get it out.
That's the point, and that's really what this book is about. It's inviting all of us men to look into our own stories and ask ourselves, what are those versions? What are those things that we were taught growing up that make zero freaking sense? My version of it is I remember being about 11 years old, and someone asked me to show me my finger, to show them my fingernails. And I put my hand out. I just showed them, you know, I just spread my fingers, and they called me gay. And they called me a girl. They're like, aha, that's how girls do it. You're gay, right? Then automatically, what does that say? It means that a girl is an insult. Being a girl is an insult. And that being gay is an insult. But what that taught me was that they said, oh, real men, look at their fingers this way. And they, like, you know, they turned their hand over and they curled their fingers. And it's like, that's how men do it. And I'm like, who the hell decided that? To this day, when I cut my fingernails, I do it the way that a man was supposed to do it, that some 11-year-old told me. And this is the thing about masculinity, man. Who the hell makes this stuff up? And at the end of the day, we got to really check in and forget about all this stuff. What it means to be a man is how you feel about yourself as a man, not how anybody else tells you to feel about yourself as a man.
I remember my football coach in college, whenever we would be watching film, and he'd go, don't worry about number 55 on the other team. That guy's a woman. That's how he would always say it. That's a woman wearing a helmet. And that was the 80s. Even then, I thought, I don't know if that's probably a cool thing to say. Anyway, we have been speaking with Justin Baldoni. The book is Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. Justin, congratulations on the book. I hope it helps people. And let's talk again sometime, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for having me.